We can picture the Apostle Paul walking around Athens in our first reading, perhaps sampling a little feta, some tomato and olive oil, a bit of wine, and looking at some art, some sculpture and paintings, reading poetry. Paul, earlier known as Saul, is a fascinating person, well-educated, zealous. Possibly he was even a Jewish zealot, a sect of the Jews who took the namesake, zealot, from the Psalm 69, verse 9. Zeal for your house consumes me, and the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. I could easily spin off a whole sermon on that interesting and powerful concept, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. But that's not where I'm going. Whether Paul is in Athens or on his way to Rome to stand trial for his life or shipwrecked on the island of Malta, he takes each opportunity to begin to speak of the goodness of God, of the salvation to be found in relationship to the risen Christ. In the lesson from Acts, which we consider this morning, we find Paul walking around Athens in this place that must have been so foreign to his own experience as a Jew growing up in Palestine. Beautiful monuments and artwork and architecture everywhere you look. Architecture to rival even the mighty temple in Jerusalem. Here in Athens, they worship many gods. They have an incredibly rich culture and history, art, literature, and philosophy. Paul takes some time to learn about his context, to read up, even to read some poetry while eating a few olives, and to consider what would be the best way to tell the good news of Jesus Christ here in this place. Paul begins with flattery. He says, "Athenians, I see you are very religious." But it might have been more than flattery. It is affirmation. Paul can appreciate that the people are religious, that time and careful consideration and intention have gone into their religious practices. Off in a corner and on a no-name street, he sees a statue to an unknown god. In Paul's mind, this represents the Athenians' longing for and search for truth and for the one true God. At this juncture, we may find it offensive to our present-day sensibilities that Paul proselytizes. But to a large degree, that is our own history, which I hope we can set aside, if just for a moment. This visit of Paul to Athens is before all of the abuses of religion, even the abuses of Christianity. For example, we might think about the abuses of the First Nations by the Christian church on this continent and beyond. They are too many to tell here. Such abuses that we can say now we should have respected Native people's culture and religion, and perhaps let them be. A case can be made that they were better off before they encountered the abuses of Western civilization. If we think about it in this way, these days we might even find Paul's preachy actions reprehensible, rude, and imposing. But the Apostle Paul is preaching before any and all of that. The zeal of Paul comes from a place of deep personal conviction that he had been lost and now was found, that in spite of his violent and misguided past, he had been dramatically redeemed, rescued, saved by the love and forgiveness of God. And this is so great a gift, so wonderful a story. He feels compelled to share it wherever he finds himself to be, wherever the Spirit leads him on his wild and far-reaching journey. His zeal for doing this is motivated by love, by hope, by a sense of inclusion, an expansive love that cannot be contained and that sees with the eyes of understanding and knows with the burning fire of the Spirit that everyone is welcome at God's table. Paul will go to his death preaching the gospel, proclaiming this love. What should you do if you find yourself shipwrecked? For Paul, the answer is easy. Preach the gospel. Tell the story of God's unfailing love. What should you do if you stand trial or beaten, imprisoned, hungry, or in danger? Preach the gospel. Tell the story of God's unfailing love. And if you are well-fed, strolling about Athens on a beautiful day, picking lilacs, and sleeping in a comfortable bed, then too, preach the gospel. Tell the story of God's unconditional love. In today's lesson from Acts, there are some things for us to learn from Paul. First, Paul took notice of what was going on around him. He looked up from his smartphone and saw what was going on in the neighborhood. When people differed from him, he listened to them. He listened to their music, read their authors, had a conversation with those who looked and acted different from him. He tried their food, all the while from an expansive worldview of knowing God loves these persons as much as God loves me. He noted their religion, philosophy, and politics. He observed what was important to them. He did all that first, and then, yes, then finally, he told some really good news, great news, hopeful, faithful, loving words that people needed to hear, if for no other reason than it was too good not to share, too good to keep to oneself. We have opportunities before us to do the same. What does it mean for us to preach the gospel in our context? Here we can look to the second lesson in which Peter says, "Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and reverence." Give an accounting of the hope that is in you, in our context today, in which so many people are given to cynicism and despair. Why are you hopeful? Have an answer at the ready. Finally, the gospel according to John says, "Those who love me will keep my commandments." Jesus does not here say the commandments, as in the 10 famous ones, or a few hundred Levitical ones, but keep my commandments. And these commandments of Jesus are only two: love God and love your neighbor. Motivated by love, love for our neighbors, perhaps less fortunate than us, with open and expansive hearts and minds, knowing that God's love must be made known. This is our heritage and calling. So preach the gospel. Give an accounting of the hope that is in you. Be ready to tell the story in every part of your life of God's unfailing, unfathomable love.